It's so wonderful to be in the house of the Lord today. Mark chapter 9, if you have your Bibles, please turn. Mark chapter 9, beginning verse 2. Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His clothes became shining, exceedingly white like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. And Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Because he did not know what to say, for they were greatly afraid. And a cloud came and overshadowed them. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." Suddenly, when they had looked around, they saw no one anymore, but only Jesus with themselves. Now, as they came down from the mountain, he commanded them that they should tell no one the things they had seen till the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept this word to themselves, questioning what the rising from the dead meant. And they asked him, saying, "Why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" Then he answered and told them, Indeed, Elijah is coming first and restores all things. And how is it written concerning the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be treated with contempt? But I say to you that Elijah has also come, and they did to him whatever they wished, as it is written of him." The Mount of Transfiguration, up the mountain. What a moment. What a day. What moments, the eyes of man beholding the transfigured Christ, Jesus transfigured before them. His clothes shining, exceedingly white like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten. I mean, there they are, having been led up the mountain by Jesus, led up on a high mountain. And suddenly, Elijah and Moses appear, and they start talking with Jesus. Elijah, the great and mighty prophet. Moses, the great and mighty deliverer. And Jesus, the greater prophet, the greater deliverer, the great and glorious one, the Son of God, God in flesh, the Savior, the Messiah. Well, Peter says to Jesus, "It's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles. One for you, Jesus. One for Moses. And one for Elijah." The text says that Peter didn't know what to say, and that the disciples were greatly afraid. So he suggests a building project. Can you imagine if that's where the encounter landed? Three tabernacles, three churches, the church of Jesus, the church of Moses, the church of Elijah. Salvation Church, Deliverance Church, Prophetic Church. Oh, you know that Jesus' church has it all. And Moses and Elijah would have forsaken their tabernacles for his. They would have attended the Jesus tabernacle. Verses 7 and 8, the cloud came and overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." Suddenly, when they had looked around, they saw no one anymore, but only Jesus with themselves. You know, thank God for the cloud. Thank God for the voice that day. Look around. The others stripped away. Only Jesus. Jesus, only you. Is it time? It's time that we see no one anymore but Jesus only. Up the mountain. I mean, what an encounter. What a day. What an experience to see what these men saw and to hear the voice of God in the clear statement and declaration, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." Up the mountain, down the mountain. Sounds right? Isn't it how it is? Up the mountain, down the mountain. Verses 9 to 13, "Now as they came down from the mountain, he commanded them that they should tell no one the things they had seen till the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept this word to themselves, questioning what the rising from the dead meant. And they asked him, saying, 'Why did the scribes say that Elijah must come first?' Then he answered and told them, 'Indeed, Elijah is coming first and restores all things. And how is it written concerning the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be treated with contempt? But I say to you that Elijah has also come, and they did to him whatever they wished, as it is written of him.'" Oh, the disciples had questions. They had questions, but they must have felt like they were walking on clouds. Walking on cloud 9, charged, supercharged, full of faith, unstoppable. This up the mountain experience, this incredible encounter. And look what happens when they come down from the mountain. Verses 14 to 16. "And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them, and scribes disputing with them. Immediately, when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, 'What are you discussing with them?'" Mountaintop experience. Get ready. Verses 17 to 20, "Then one of the crowd answered and said, 'Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not.' He answered him and said, 'O faithless generation,'" that is, "O unbelieving generation, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you?" Literally, how long shall I put up with you? "Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. Oh, faithless generation. Who was Jesus addressing? The disciples? The crowd? The Father? All fitting. You know, the Father needed his lack of faith dealt with. This had been the condition for some time now. This man's son has a mute spirit, and whatever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I mean, imagine living like this. Imagine living with this. Always on edge. The man wanted help. That much is evident. The text, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whatever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples. Finish it off, Father. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." Disappointment, complaint, denunciation, criticism. I mean, yes, it was true. The disciples couldn't cast it out. Was the Father a believer? Was the Father a non-believer? Had he heard that this Jesus band had power to help? How many of the disciples took a shot at casting out the devil? How many prayers, decrees, commands? Move over, let me try. Well, hang on, let me call so-and-so. Jesus speaks. He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. When the lad saw Jesus, when the mute spirit saw Jesus, up the mountain, down the mountain, and the devil likes to cause a ruckus and a scene. The spirit convulsed the son and he fell on the ground. I mean, there he is on the ground, wallowing, foaming at the mouth. Verse 22, so Jesus asked the Father, he asked his Father, how long has this been happening to him? Is this a time for questions, Jesus? Sure is. Verse 21, and he said, from childhood. There's a lot going on in the story. And Jesus is dealing with many things and many people. A crowd, his disciples, this father, this son, this demonic spirit. Any scribes taking notes? You know, Jesus has an incredible way of dealing with it all and with them all. It's unfolding now. How long? Verses 21 and 22, and he said from childhood and often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Help, succor, bring aid. Notice that the Father doesn't say, have compassion on him. Help him. Have compassion on us. Help us. Us. You know, the Father wanted his son free of this. And what of the rest of the family? The Father wanted his son free, and the Father wanted free of this. Have compassion on us. Help us. You know that the Father felt it all affected. I mean, this has been going on since childhood. Tired of it all, weary. Is there any hope? Any future? Had he lost all faith? Any faith left? Had faith vanished? The years and every time the Spirit would seize the Son, delivering blow after blow to faith and belief, hope trickling down the plug. Verse 22. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. You know, I wish I could hear the tone of the Father's voice, the way he delivered this statement. But if you can do anything, I quote, some of you are not overly filled with faith that your situation can change. You have a glimmer of hope in your heart that Jesus can fix your problem, and your prayer is exactly like the Father's. If you can do anything, Jesus, if you are still listening, if you are more than what people have told me you are, if you are beyond what I have seen in the people who are supposed to represent you, if you can do anything, Jesus, would you have mercy on me? Save me. Would you have mercy on us? Save us. The boy's on the ground, wallowing, foaming at the mouth. But here's Jesus dealing with the Father. Verses 23 and 24, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. The father needed help. The father needed help. Here he is admitting his belief needs help. The father cries out and says with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Literally my unfaithfulness, weakness of faith. The father acknowledges Jesus is Lord in the verse. Not just a man. Lord. Jesus is dealing with the Father, leading him along, dealing with his state, dealing with his belief, with his unbelief, lack of faith, dealing with his heart, dealing with his spirit, dealing with his soul. Church, this is the compassion of Jesus. it is more encompassing than the rapid casting out of a demon. That's the compassion of Jesus. Jesus isn't in a hurry. He's not anxious about what's going on. This boy on the ground, wallowing, foaming at the mouth, and here's Jesus just taking time, dealing with the Father. That is the compassion of Jesus. More encompassing than the rapid casting out of a demon. Well, suddenly people start running. Coming together, they want in on the action. They're drawn to these type of scenes, these attractions. This manifestation, this mute spirit seizing this boy, he's on the ground, wallowing, foaming at the mouth, the crowd starts running. And look at this, Jesus acts quick, turning his attention to the boy, verse 25. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Oh, the compassion of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the command of Jesus, dealing with the crowd, dealing with the disciples, dealing with the Father, dealing with the demonic spirit, dealing with the faith, the belief, the unbelief of the crowd, the disciples, the Father, the Son. Verse 26, then the Spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, he is dead. Welcome to church. He's dead. You know, let's not be surprised if things don't immediately look as we think they should when Jesus is working. Was there any of the crowd of those gathered round that thought to themselves, this is the result? Surely the boy was better off before. I mean, the mute spirit wasn't always having its way with him. Possessed, but alive. Now he's free. He's dead. He's dead. Their perspective, their assessment, their evaluation, their belief. And there's the Father looking at his seemingly lifeless son. Oh, Jesus is dealing with the crowd. He's dealing with the disciples. He's dealing with the Father. He's dealing with the Son. Verse 27, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Which disciples had the Father brought his son to? Ones that were down the mountain? Or was it the walking on clouds, walking on cloud nine, charged, supercharged, full of faith, unstoppable Mount of Transfiguration disciples? One thing is certain. Jesus is dealing with everyone in this story. The Father needed his ministry. The Son needed his ministry. The crowd needed his ministry, and the disciples needed his ministry. Yeah. The compassion. The help. The transfiguring work of the transfigured one. You know, the disciples, they must have been puzzled as to why they couldn't cast the spirit out. I mean, I can't imagine that they were boasting that they were able to cast out the spirit. Careful. Careful. When faith is follied. Verses 27 to 29, but Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Jesus, why couldn't we cast it out? So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Why couldn't the disciples cast out this mute spirit? The text seems pretty clear. He said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Had they been praying? Had they been fasting? Were they given to prayer, to fasting, times of prayer, fasting, seasons of prayer, fasting? You know, it's a good lesson here. It's a good lesson, a lesson for them. The importance and power of prayer and of fasting, the enabling that it brings. Here's Jesus. Jesus is working on their faith. Here's Jesus helping them and helping their belief, equipping. I mean, they asked for the reason. They got their answer. Is there a disciple in the house today? Up on high mountain, and you're proposing a building project? However this might speak. Is there a disciple in the house today that needs an overshadowing and a voice out of the clouds saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. Look. Look around. No one anymore. But only Jesus. Any disciples in the house caught up in dispute? Jesus asked, what are you discussing with them? What are you discussing? What is this dispute all about? Careful, disciples. Beware of the scribes. Is there a scribe in the house? Or is there one genuine in the mix? Part of the multitude gathered round dispute? Is there a father in the house? Disappointed. Perhaps a spirit of complaint, denunciation, criticism, whatever the need, whatever the issue, nothing's changed. Is there a son in the house? You've got a spirit. An unholy spirit. Even a mute spirit, deaf and dumb. This can speak in many ways today. Might just be from childhood. And this spirit seizes you and has its way with you, throws you into the fire and into the water to destroy you. No control. Puts you on the ground and renders you wallowing, foaming at the mouth. You need Jesus. Jesus. Is there a father and a son? And it's an us situation. Father, you're saying today, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us, Jesus. And at the words of Jesus, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. You're crying out and saying with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Do we need Jesus to deal with us today? Help us. Help us with belief. Help our unbelief, the doubt in us. Believing, it's struggling to believe. And to the crowd, the people, the runners, those that want the action, seek the action, are drawn to these type of scenes, these attractions, demon chasers. Jesus acted quickly to stop the commotion. And crowd, when Jesus is at work, let's not be so quick to judge things wrongly. Jesus is working. The boy was not better off before. The boy is not dead. And now, Jesus takes him by the hand and lifts him up. Up the mountain. Down the mountain. We know this trek. The times when Jesus takes us and leads us up the mountain. And what glorious encounters we have. Great moments. Spiritual highs. And the time comes when he leads us down the mountain. For there's work to do. There's work to be done. There's a multitude that need the ministry of Jesus. There are scribes that need the ministry of Jesus. There's a father and a son that need the ministry of Jesus. There's a crowd that needs the ministry of Jesus. And down the mountain, there are disciples that need the ministry of Jesus. And down the mountain, we just come from up the mountain. Disciples need the ministry of Jesus, the ministry of the transfigured Messiah, that we too might be transfigured. He's working on everybody. Scribe, crowd, father, son. He's working on everybody. You're like, I don't need any work. I just came from up the mountain with Jesus. I just saw the transfigured Messiah. I mean, I'm supercharged. You know, like Superman. I'm so full of faith. Bring me that demon. Bring me that mute spirit. And then you're humbled. Jesus, I brought my son to your up the mountain disciple. They couldn't cast him out. The spirit. You know, I don't want to read into it. Maybe there was a little pride there, you know? Like, we three amigos just came from up the hill, and, you know, tres amigos, and you guys are all down here doing your thing. And you know what we just saw? Come on, bring me all the demons, you know? Up the mountain, down the mountain, Jesus, lead us. Worship ministry, please come. You know, many left the scene that day transfigured. Perhaps eternity will tell. of a transfigured scribe or a member of the crowd that joined the Jesus crowd. A father left the scene that day with the son set free. He who the son sets free is free indeed. The disciples left the scene that day with a great lesson from Jesus on prayer and fasting. The transfiguring work of the transfigured one. A three tabernacle spirit. A mute spirit. A boastful spirit, spirit of unbelief. Oh, Jesus can do anything. Jesus, full of compassion and help for the us, for the me. You know, someone in this house today needs to go up the mountain. You need to go up the mountain today where his clothes shine and all you see is Jesus. Look. And be transformed, transfigured, much like the Messiah. Three tabernacles? No. The tabernacle. Jesus. Look up. Faithless generation. Oh, the interjection. Faithless, unbelieving, without trust in God. How long? Jesus is like, how long? I got to be with you and bear with you. You notice that he said, faithless generation. He didn't just go, oh, faithful Father. Unfaithful father, or faithless father, dealing with just the father. He's dealing with everybody in the story. How about faith-filled, believing, with trust in God? Let's trek. Let's trek today. Up the mountain, down the mountain. Where are you at? Where are we at? The Lord's working on everyone in this room. All of us. Those on the main floor, those up in the bleachers, those on the platform. God's working. The Spirit's working on all of us. Who are we today? Where do we fit in the story? Teach us, God. Teach us, Jesus.